This sermon was recorded at the Church of Christ, Northwest Arkansas. We are Christians seeking to worship God in spirit and in truth, according to the New Testament. Come worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 at 1708 Elm Springs Road in Springdale, Arkansas.
So as I started putting together a lesson on the study of Joshua, I'm going to be really honest with you. I did not know exactly what I was going to be speaking on until I started studying. Joshua is often looked at as one of the greatest leaders of Israel. In Numbers 27, Numbers 27, verse 18, he's described as a man in whom is the Spirit. We'll discuss that a little bit more later. But he's referenced over and over again throughout the Old and the New Testament. Some of you even maybe grew up with, you know, hearing songs about Joshua. I know I grew up with, you know, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, or the French peas in VeggieTales, and them sitting there going, "You'll keep walking round and round this wall, but it is never going to fall." Well, this story, it is a good story. We often forget the rest of the role that, you know, Joshua played in his journey through Israel and his journey to become this great leader. Joshua's name wasn't always Joshua. The name of Joshua was actually originally, the name of Joshua was actually originally Hoshea or Oshea. In Numbers 13:16 says, "These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land." And Moses called Hoshea the son of Nun, Jehoshua. The original Hebrew would have actually been translated as Hoshea, meaning salvation. And when it became Joshua, it would have been Yehoshua, meaning God is salvation. The original Hebrew would have been pronounced Yehoshua, being Yeh, being from Yahweh, meaning God. His first appearance is in Exodus chapter 17, starting in verse 8. This is the battle against the Amalekites. Starting in verse 8, it says, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, Because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." A lot of people, when looking at this story, tend to focus a lot on Moses and Aaron and Hur, because it is a beautiful story of Moses sitting here and losing his strength and trying to follow after God, and these two men coming to help him and to help hold him up. But a lot of people kind of overlook Joshua in this moment, a man that really isn't brought up until this moment. You know, the Bible does this really cool thing where it kind of name drops people gradually, and these names pop up that will become important later. And he is one of these people. He's chosen as a leader from the very get-go. And instead of arguing with Moses about this, as a lot of people do, Moses calls him and he says, "Hey, you who hasn't been brought up much, I need you to fight the Amalekites. I need you to get a group of men together. You're going to fight the Amalekites. And I tell you what, as long as I keep my hands up, we're going to win. That took a lot of faith. He had to listen. He had to be willing to listen to God and have faith in God's plan. Jeremiah 17, 7 to 8 says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the rivers, and shall not see what heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the years of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Joshua's hope was not in himself in this moment. His hope was in God, not his own abilities. He had faith in God that they would be delivered through this, just like we as Christians need to have as well. From here, Joshua does take a little bit of an exodus from the book of Exodus, but he pops back up again in Exodus chapter 24, starting in verse 13. And when we see him again, he's not a military leader. He's a servant. It says, "And Moses rose up, and his minister, Joshua, and Moses went up into the Mount of God." This is a great example of the word minister being used in Scripture, not as what a lot of people think of today as minister, but as servant. Joshua went from being this military leader to being a servant. In both regards, he was a servant. Neither role was above or below him, though. He was a servant and was willing to do whatever he was called to do. Matthew 20, 25 to 28 says, "But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." He didn't become a leader. Joshua did not become a leader because he was seeking to be a leader. Joshua became a leader because he was seeking to serve. As a servant to Moses, Joshua went with him up to Mount Sinai. Nobody else came on this journey with Moses. Joshua was chosen to go with him to the mountain. Now, he didn't go up the mountain. He would have probably sat around the foot of the mountain. Because in Exodus 24:2, it says, "And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him." So he would attend him up to this point, and then he'd have to stay while Moses went up and spoke with God. But we know that he went with him to the mountain, because in Exodus 32:15-18, it says, "And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides, on the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, There is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear." The context of this moment is as Moses is coming down, the people of Israel, while they were away, built this golden calf to worship. But notice that Joshua has become a servant to Moses and is well trusted by Moses to follow even onto these kinds of trips, even on these kinds of journeys. He's following him. By becoming a servant to Moses, Joshua is actually becoming more of a leader and growing more spiritually by being in this role. As well as being a servant to Moses, he would also dwell at the tent of meeting in the tabernacle. In Exodus 33:11 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. So in Exodus, what we're seeing, though he's not brought up a lot of times throughout the book of Exodus, we're seeing that Joshua is a man of faith. We're seeing that Joshua is a man that is willing to serve the people, willing to serve Moses, and willing to serve God in whatever capacity that he is called to serve. Nothing is above him. Nothing is below him. He takes whatever role God calls him to take. His story picks back up in Numbers. Numbers chapter 11, verses 24 to 29. It says, "And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them around about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud, and spake unto him, and took of the spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, My Lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. You know, many people see this instance, the story of as Joshua, as, you know, bad judgment call on Joshua's part. And I'm not saying that it isn't. It is. I'm not saying that he was right. Obviously, they were prophesying through God, or God was prophesying through them unto Israel. But note this one thing. When he was unsure, when he was worried, he didn't act rashly. The first thing he did, he came to Moses and he said, My Lord, forbid them. He didn't take things into his own hands. He wisely went to Moses first. And sure, Moses pointed that he was wrong, that he was not in the right in this moment. But he sought the counsel of someone spiritually wiser than him to handle the situation. Proverbs 19:20 says, Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter years. In order to grow, in order to learn as Joshua did, and as we also are called to do, it is crucial that instead of acting rashly in the moment, that we instead seek after the counsel of those who are wiser than us. Sure, you're probably going to be corrected from time to time. Sure, you're going to be chastised occasionally. But it is important that you seek after somebody else that is wiser than you, that is a spiritual leader in your life. Well, in times of peace, Joshua functioned as a servant to Moses. He often was still called upon to serve in a militaristic capacity, even as a spy, as we're about to see here. In Numbers chapter 13, starting in verse 1, it says, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And there were their names of the tribe of Reuben, Shemua, the son of Zakur, of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori, of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, of the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Joseph, of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea, the son of Nun, of the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, the son of Rephu, of the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Saudi, of the tribe of Joseph, namely of the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi, the son of Susi, of the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gamali, of the tribe of Asher, Zathur, the son of Michael, of the tribe of Naphtali, Nabi, the son of Vophsi, of the tribe of Gad, Gul, the son of Machi. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. So these men go in and see this land. And they see it's absolutely everything that God has promised them. And then they report back in Numbers 13, verse 25. And it says, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. You see, even though the land is absolutely everything that God promised them that it would be, they lost faith. Their fear took over because they were so scared of these giants, these people that were in this land, that they were not going to be able to beat these guys. And so the tribe continued to murmur. They continued thinking that these people were far too strong. All their kids are going to perish in this battle. There's no way that they make it out alive. They lacked faith in God. And as these things tend to do, their lack in faith spread like an infection, as a disease throughout the tribe of Israel. Nearly all, with the exception of Moses, Aaron, Caleb, and Joshua. In Numbers 14, 4 to 9, it says, and they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them which searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search is exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Again, Joshua showing his faith in God, regardless of what the majority of the people are thinking, regardless of what the majority of the people are doing. Joshua is standing for the promise of God and for his word. And for this, Joshua is rewarded. In Numbers 14, verse 30 to 31, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. There are going to be times in our life where things seem impossible for us to handle. But it is crucial, it is important that we maintain faith in God, that by Him all things are possible. It may not always go the way that you want it to go, but if it is God's will, not yours, if it's God's will, it will be. Because of Israel's lack of faith during this time, they were forced to wander the desert for 40 years before entering into the promised land, so that all those who murmured and lacked faith in God would pass, and those who were young during the time could enter in with Joshua and Caleb. During this time, another important thing happened. Moses had sinned against God. In Numbers chapter 20, starting in verse 2. It says, "And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into the wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they fell upon their faces. The glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron, thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. And it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring the congregation into the land which I have given them. By not following the commands of God, explicitly as God commanded him, Moses was also then banned from entering into the promised land. He didn't do as was commanded of him. Instead, of simply speaking to the rock as God told him to do, he smote it twice. Maybe out of anger, maybe out of frustration, regardless of his reasoning why he smote the rock, it's not what God called him to do. And he sinned against God. This led to Joshua's new role and his new authority and responsibility in the tribe of Israel. See, as time was getting closer for them to enter into the promised land, Moses was starting to get a little bit worried because he wasn't going to be around to lead them. So in Numbers 27, 15 to 23, and Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep, which have no shepherd. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Moses feared the fate of Israel. Traveling into this other land, he'd been leading them for so long, and he was so worried that without a leader, they would fall apart. So Joshua, son of Nun, was put in his place and took the role of leader because of his faith, because of his obedience, and because of his willingness to serve the people of Israel. In the book of Deuteronomy, is more of just letters and sermons, Moses' last round of letters and sermons to the people of Israel. And in these, Moses takes the time early on to tell the people to encourage Joshua. In Deuteronomy 1:38, it says, But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him. for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. And in Deuteronomy 3:28, says, but charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before the people, before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. Just as it was Joshua's duty to encourage Israel, it was Israel's duty to encourage Joshua. If we look in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22-25, it says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. While it is important for leaders to encourage, leadership also needs to be encouraged. We are called to encourage one another, to provoke one another unto good works. This can look like being there to serve in times of need. It can be something as simple as kind words to somebody that needs them. It can be helping push them to meet their potential. And as I said, most of the book of Deuteronomy is a record of letters and sermons from Moses taught in his last days. And as things got closer, Moses encouraged Israel and Joshua before they entered into the promised land. In Deuteronomy 31, verses 1 through 8, says, and Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them who he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, and ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong, and of a good courage. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. In Joshua's growth, and leading into this moment, we see a lot of foreshadowing. A lot of foreshadowing of Christ in his actions. Something that's really interesting about Joshua is that Jesus' name would have been Yehoshua, same as Joshua, meaning God is salvation. The Hebrew is Yehoshua. Translated into Greek, it becomes Yesuus. And then from Greek to English, Yesuus becomes Jesus. Joshua was actually also translated as Jesus a couple times in the New Testament. In the King James Version, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8, says, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? But if you look at pretty much any other version, including the New King James Version, I just selected the NASB, it says, for if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. If you look in Hebrews chapter 4, the context makes it clear that it's talking about Joshua in that moment. But the King James often translated names directly from the Greek into English. Whereas a lot, even regardless of whether or not that character was in the Old Testament as well. So that's why you'll get translations like Elijah is translated as Elias oftentimes in the New Testament. Same here with Joshua being translated as Jesus in this instance. See, Moses was unable to fulfill, to fully lead the people into the Promised Land, because not even he could keep the commandments of God perfectly. The salvation of Israel came through grace and mercy, not by the works of the law, not even Moses. It was Joshua, by the grace of God, who led them into the Promised Land, like how it is Jesus who leads us unto salvation. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It was by the grace of God, not the works of Moses, that Joshua was able to lead the people into the Promised Land. It is by the grace of God, not by our own works, that Jesus is able to lead us unto salvation. You know, Joshua, his spiritual growth as a leader, there's a lot of things as we're looking through his growth that we can take away from seeing his spiritual life early on. First of which is, have faith in God. No matter those who are around you, no matter what people around you may think, no matter the circumstances that surround you, have faith in God. Be a servant. Be a servant to all those around you. Minister. Do what you can to help those around you. I'm not asking you to go completely out of your way always. But if you are able to serve somebody else, if you are able and have that capability to be a servant, to be a minister to those that are in need. Seek counsel from those that are wiser than you. Stand for the word of God, like Joshua stood for God's word and for his promises. And encourage one another. Push one another. Provoke one another unto good works. Don't just encourage leadership, but encourage people unto leadership. Joshua's growth as a leader set the example for what we need to aspire to become leaders in the church. And it might be in a small capacity. It might be, you know, you're leading a Bible study. It might be you're able to speak. You're able to lead a song. It might even just be you're at work and you're trying to lead somebody to Christ, just out in the world. All of us can be leaders in some way. And Joshua's example that he set is an example for our own personal growth, and also foreshadowed a day when Christ would come to lead us unto an even greater promise than the Promised Land. And that is unto salvation. I thank you for your time this morning. If any brothers or sisters have any need of the church, You want to obey the gospel, you're having issues, whatever it may be, the church is here to encourage you. Please come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from God's Word. If there's anything we can do to help you in your walk with Christ, send us a message at facebook.com/CFCNWA. To find more sermons, look for us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and like our Facebook page. Thanks for listening, and God bless.